I'm sure you have noticed some of the effects of yesterday's storm. We had rain, which we certainly need. We got a little break from that intense heat, which we certainly needed a break. It's still hot. Maybe it's like 30 or 32 in here, but a couple days ago it was 40 degrees in the chapel. Anyway, so we got a break. And then also the air is clean and the sky is very blue. Have you noticed it this morning? Something fresh about the weather after a big storm. That's an introduction to what we'll be reflecting on today. Both of the readings today end on a very positive note, a joyful note. After some of the storms we have been reflecting on through this week, today's gospel ends with the crowd hearing Jesus with delight. Today's first reading ends with joy for all the Jews who lived in Nineveh. So we reflect a little bit on joy. I myself said earlier this week that the story of Tobit is about suffering. It is. The suffering of Tobit, the suffering of Sarah, but it also is about joy, and that's why it's such a great book to read. We get a picture of life in the Lord. But before we turn to that, let's just mention a little bit something about this gospel. It says that the great crowd heard this with delight. I'm sure no one here heard this gospel with delight. It's a kind of gospel that leaves people shrugging their shoulders. What is that? What does that mean? What is that all about? What is this Son of David, Son, Lord, Master, and all these? It's not immediately obvious to anyone in our times what this gospel is about and why it should give anyone delight. In fact, it's not that clear why the crowd is delighted. They might be delighted to be hearing the word of God explained, but they might also be delighted to hear somebody surpass the scribes, the know-it-all scribes. Because what Jesus does here is asks a question that the scribes don't know the answer to. So they might be just delighted that someone has come along to put them in their place. I don't know. But the point Jesus makes here is that David, the great David, spoke of the Messiah as his Lord. So the Messiah was prophesied to be a descendant of David, meaning less than David, as an ancestor is always greater than a descendant of David, but also the Lord of David. So it's two levels, and that's what was confusing to the Jews. Now, to us, we don't think like this, so it doesn't confuse us. We just don't know what it means. But if you were of the mindset that ancestors are always greater than descendants, and if you're of the mindset that the Messiah is greater than anyone, well then how can you put the two together? Because Jesus, the Messiah is descendant of David and also Lord of David. Now, it's not hard for us to know the answer because Jesus is a descendant of David. Jesus comes from the line of David. Remember the genealogy, the number of David is 14, 14 generations, 14 generations. So from David to the exile, 14 generations, from the exile up to the coming of the Messiah, 14 generations. It's all about David. So Jesus certainly comes from the line of David, but he's also Son of God. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah. He far surpasses David. Both Son of God and Son of David. So that's the answer to the puzzle. He doesn't make it clear in today's gospel, but that's the answer to that. And to know these things does give delight. In the first reading, the joys are much easier for us to grasp. This is near the end of the book of Tobit now. Remember, Tobit has passed through poverty and blindness, and his son has gone off on a long journey trying to retrieve some money that he had in another place, and he's had trouble, squabbles with his wife, and he's had a lot of problems. The other suffering person in the story of Tobit is Sarah, who had seven husbands and they all died on their wedding night. So through the mediation of the angel, the archangel Raphael, these troubles are resolved. And today's reading is a kind of a delightful, joyful homecoming. It's full of natural joys. Of course they're happy that they got the money. Who wouldn't be? You had a big amount of money and you have no access to it, and someone goes and gets it and brings it back to you. Well, that's great. Of course he's happy to have his cataracts healed. He was blind, now he can see. Who wouldn't be happy? This is not the way people treat cataracts nowadays, of course. But, cataract surgery is common now, but in the time of Tobit, once you're blind, you're blind. So the fish gall, which, remember, it was the archangel, it was Raphael, who told Tobiah to save the fish gall. It has medicinal properties. Or maybe, that wasn't in any of the readings of the liturgy, but if you read the book of Tobit, you get the whole story. I encourage you to look up this delightful book. It's a great story. Anyway, so Tobit gets his money back, he gets his sight back, he gets his son back, and his son has a new bride. So he gets a daughter. See, they're all things that give us joy. We're happy to have money, have natural security, we're happy to have our health, we're happy to have a family. And we should be happy with these things. We should be. But that's not the end of the story. This will become clearer tomorrow in the conclusion of Tobit, because that's when Tobit and Tobiah discover that this man who helped Tobiah is actually an angel. They don't know yet that he's an angel. All they know is that this guy has really helped them, and things have all worked out. And everybody in Nineveh is rejoicing to see Tobit walking around without any help. Can see again, and everybody's happy to have the new daughter-in-law arrive. Natural joys are a good thing to remember. We know that we live in a valley of tears, and there are plenty of things that prevent us from rejoicing. I mean, we've been in a pandemic for how long? Endless pandemic and quarantine, and there's lots of things that cause us sorrow. But that is not the only thing we experience. We do experience joy. And God wants us to have these natural joys. I was at a funeral mass recently that brought this to mind. Now, a funeral mass, of course, is a sorrowful time. People are saying goodbye to their loved one. And at least we were able to have the funeral mass. The restrictions have been very severe. And a lot of these masses, we haven't been able to do it. But anyway, since I knew the man who had died, I went to offer a mass there. And so there's the family gathered. All his children were there. His wife was not there because she's in a coma. But so this family has really suffered a lot of burdens. The children are there. The grandchildren are there. And one of his grandchildren just had a baby. So there's a little baby there in this chapel, maybe about, I don't know, 5 or 6 months old. So old enough to sit up and make baby sounds. So during the mass, it's a funeral mass. Here's the baby gurgling and laughing and, kind of, what babies. And everybody's watching the baby, of course. And you can't help but be happy when you have a little baby, a happy baby. So it was quite a striking thing to me, from the great-grandfather who's dead, and that's heavy. Then there's this mass going on, and this priest is talking about life and death. And then there's this baby gurgling and making all kinds of sounds, and everybody is, of course, watching the baby. It's a natural joy. How can you not be happy when there's a baby? The point, though, the book of Tobit, one of the points is, with all these natural goods, they should lead to thanksgiving to God, praise of God. When we experience blessings, natural blessings, and we have money, we have health, we have family, have a baby, we should, yes, we should be happy, but that joy should lead us to God. That's what it's for. And Tobit does this, it's beautiful. He gives praise to God. As soon as he gets his sight back and he embraces his son and he's delighted, he says, "Blessed be God, praised be his great name, blessed be all his holy angels." Now, he doesn't know there's an angel standing right there next to him, but he's giving praise to God for his great works. May his holy name be praised throughout all the ages, because it was he who scourged me. He's acknowledging that he passed through a time of great suffering. And it is he who has had mercy on me. This is the right response. We talk a lot about how suffering is to lead us to God. And it is. When we suffer, we realize our dependence on God. We realize how weak we are. We realize that the goods of this world are all passing, and we can't cling to them. They don't give us lasting joy. So suffering should, doesn't always work, but suffering should lead us to God. Joy should also lead us to God, because we realize these things come as a gift, if we're humble. If we can appreciate these things as a gift. Now, the danger, of course, is that when we have earthly blessings, we start to think that we did it ourselves, or that these things will last forever, or that our joy is completely found in these good things, having money, having health, having family. If that's our attitude, it won't be long before we'll experience some kind of a loss and we'll be reminded, no, these joys are not the source of joy. They're just signs, beautiful signs, good signs of the greater good, which is God himself. So we praise the Lord when we experience blessings, and we should praise him. We should be grateful. As we grow, we can learn to be grateful even when we don't experience these natural joys. To be grateful to God no matter what we experience, because we know him. We know his goodness. We know his love, his lasting mercy. The story of Tobit will conclude tomorrow with the revelation of the angel, and that will make the same point. It's not enough simply to be grateful. Well, it isn't. It's enough to be grateful. But when we're grateful, our eyes are opened to the bigger picture, what God is doing, including what he's doing on an invisible level, the angels, grace. So, on this first Friday, as we honor the Sacred Heart, as we give thanks to God for his mercy and all the blessings we receive, we remember that life here, with all its sufferings, is not only suffering. We are on a journey to God, and we should delight. We should take delight in God's blessings.